you because I got so much to do. If I wait and just read scripture on Sunday, I won't be able to get to the bulk of these parts that need to be tended to concerning. How many know that the truth is the only thing that's going to set us free? Now, we've been dealing with the words of Jesus, and the words of Jesus is important. And I'm going to incorporate all the words of Jesus. We're going to continue in that. So although you'll see a different slide backdrop and you're going to see a lot of scripture focus, because every time I go back and I'm reading the words of Jesus, every time I come across something he says, it brings me right to these verses. Now I'm seeing the connection on how they all relate. Now I want to tell you that we have been, and I'm going to use this in general, I'm going to include us and everybody around the world. We have been lulled asleep with just going to church. Listen, it's to the point where the enemy doesn't mind people even coming to salvation to begin with. But how many of you know that's coming to salvation? That's just the beginning of a new you or me. We got to do what after that? Endure to the end. Well, in that process, the enemy is going to try to take everything that you came into unless you learn it. Now, there's two systems that are against each other. The one system, we can go back all the way to the garden, as I was talking about this on Sunday morning. I touched on it on Sunday night. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's two systems. And we're going to be living our lives underneath one of those systems. So in order to know what Jesus, we know him as Yeshua now, right? And we need to slowly but surely just migrate completely into understanding the original name. And so some people, and listen, I'm not going to be dogmatic in that, but I do believe it's going to help us at least stay focused on the importance. It's like when you come into the feast, keeping feast and Torah observances, I never thought I would ever see an attack on the church, the Bible-believing church, just because you say you're going to observe Torah in the feast rather than doing something else. That just blew my mind. But there we were, and we still are, basically. I mean, if some folks think we're nuts, right? And if you think we're nuts, I can't help that. The truth of the Word of God is clear, and we got to make a decision which side we're going to be on. Now, we can get to good. We can focus on the good and be wonderful. It could be wonderful. But never forget, attached in that same bloodline of the good is evil. And for the most part, you can live your entire life and everything be just smooth sailing. But to God, there's a clear separation. Because there's a tree of life, right? And so the trick is from the devil, and when he comes up and says, "Hath God really said?" That's the trick. So the whole thing is, people come up and say, "Don't really matter. Why does it really matter?" It seems to me that's similar kind of spooky talk, right? And I don't like spooky. I'd rather just be clear. If you're going to go with, he said, if you're going to go with me, go with me. I'm like a liar. He drawed a line in the sand and says, listen, if we're going to serve Yahweh, let's serve Yahweh. If we're going to serve Baal, then let's serve him. It's one of them. So I think it's clear. And I think that's the deception. The deception is running rampant. So you can't, listen, if you're going to go to scripture and look at scripture, people are going to have a problem with that. That's something crazy. And it's and it's coming from the church. And I'm going to break that down on Sunday. Man, I want to. Well, I guess we're leaving early. So I have to wait. So I'll give as much as I can to you. Because it'll take a while to do that next part. The next part is we're going to look at. I'm going to show you. I'm going to actually show a visual of it, and I'm going to give you some quotes from some of the leading. I mean, I use Logos, right? Bible software. I got a big bundle, you know, it's very expensive. And I go, like, I can do a word search. I can break it down in all the Hebrew. It just breaks it all down. I got the Hebrew in the picture. I mean, all the way back. It breaks it all down. And the guys that's done this, and all these smart people, they all on there. But one of the guys on there in particular is concerned about it because of some of the statements. And I'm gonna break that down as soon as I can to you and show you that. So I'm not getting this stuff. I'm getting this stuff off of what we use for our learning. So we have to have trust in people. We trust in those people who are they are theologians. They have studied all their life, dedicated their life. I mean, this guy can translate into seven different languages. He can translate seven different languages back into English. Pictures, you know, whatever they call it. He can do all of that. Guy's brilliant. But he has an issue with taking the scripture literal. You got to watch, he said. You can't take it all literal. Some of it you can. So I want to know what that means. So I've been studying that. I'm not clear on it yet, but I want to know what that means. Does that mean you don't believe everything? Here's the thing. It came to me today. I was cutting grass today, and it just came to me. If we question the words of Jesus, that could be a problem, right? Because I'm still going over these words of Jesus. Every time I get a chance, I'm listening to everything he said. And you can go, somebody has compiled everything Jesus said on an audio. All right, I don't know who it is. I don't even know the guy's name, but it's great. Every word Jesus said, he's got it like in 3 or 4 discs. And you go on, you can listen to it on audio. And I'll try to get the name for you. If you're interested, you can look. So you don't have to go look for it. It just starts at the first thing. He just goes all the way through everything he said on audio disc. So I'm listening to it, right? And I'm just listening. Every time I get a chance, and I think about Jesus quoted some things that the prophets and Moses had said. So my thought is, do those things that he quoted still fit in the category of these are not my words, they're from the Father? So Jesus is saying what they said and what I'm repeating is from the Father. That's how I take it. Do I have a problem if a guy comes with a bunch of letters behind his name saying you can't take all that stuff serious? So what parts of Jesus' words that even though he's repeated? Listen, if we undermine the people Jesus quotes, like Moses, is that a problem? Because the quote was this from the guy with all letters behind his name. We can't take everything Moses said seriously. Because he was coming from an ancient understanding of scripture. No, that ain't how I view it. He didn't have no scripture. He got that from God at a different time of events that happened before he was born. That's how I take it. Because we read Sunday, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, and so forth, right? So to me, it's subtle, yet it seems to be undermining the words of Jesus, the words of the prophet, and the words of Genesis. Now, if he's going to give us information and he's going to do it in a way where he says he's going to reveal the things to us, we'll understand the end, is what he said. You'll understand the end, Revelations. How? By the beginning. So what are you going to attack? What's the most logical thing to attack so you can make the end confusing? the beginning. And that's what I see happening. Not from the world. I mean, although they're doing it, but they are outright doing it. But this is happening in the church. That's scary. That's real scary. You can't take, I'm a quote, you can't take Genesis serious. Then another quote, we can't take Genesis literally. So I want to know what part he didn't literally do when God in the beginning created the heaven and earth. Okay, tell me what I need to take out of that. And the earth was all form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. What is that? It's a metaphor. What it tell me where I need to take literally out of that? Did he or didn't he? You see, and then you get so confused you don't know what to believe. That's what the stuff that's being said. To me, that's scary stuff. And we got to be careful. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just break it down. I'm going to give you the scripture. And then if you can take these scriptures, I'm giving them to you. You can write them down. You go back and listen to it. You write all these verses down. There'll be 400 or so verses. And I read these verses. I went through them again. I read them again. And I'm reading them again. And really, I read them again before I come out here because I went back over everything I'm going to read now. I went back over it again. Because these are important verses of Scripture. So you take those verses, and with those verses of Scripture, you got to figure out, according to him, which ones you're going to take literally, or are they just metaphors? So to me, what he's saying is God is, you know, a magician or something, and he's trying to trick us. So he just gives things here and there, and he throws little funnies in here and there, and ideas pop up in your head, but they don't really mean anything. What I want you to do is take these scriptures and do this. Without a preconceived idea, read the verses and tell me what them verses, what kind of picture you think they tell you about what God did. I believe that God was sending a message to us, and I believe we're about to see, we're witnessing the last unfolding, the veil being removed of what God's going to do. You ever heard the term apocalypse? So what does that mean? Who wants to take a shot at it? The apocalypse. When you hear that, what do you think of? The what? Destruction, that's good. Anything else? The end time? Yeah. Can I tell you when you get down to the base of what it means? Apocalypse means, when to begin, it means he lifts the veil. So I'm telling you, we're entering an apocalypse, because what does he do first in the apocalypse? He lifts the veil so you can see the real. that's what's happening. So you got to look, what's happening around the world? There's little groups just like this that nobody's counting on. People who just get up every day through your struggles and your body aches and all the stuff that you got to deal with every day, but deep down inside you love God and you want truth. And he ain't counting on that. So you've been counted out a long time ago. But those are going to seek truth. He's going to remove the veil, and he's going to bring them back. And they're going to cross through the valley from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they're going to go up that mountain, and they're going to grab hold to the tree of life, and they won't let it go for nothing and no reason. And the reason you're going to do that, you're going to take to heart the scripture that you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Because you're not going to seek the counsel of the ungodly. You're not going to seek that. But you're going to understand what the scripture says. Blessed is the man who walks not in that counsel. And so when that happens, we're going to see. So the apocalypse, if you look at it, it's a pulling the veil up. It's the unveiling. And I was last night, I was sitting in the bed just word searching this on my last minute. I mean, I was falling asleep on the couch, so I said, I got to go to bed. So I went to bed and I grabbed my phone and I said, well, I got to get this word. I want to get this word. So I looked it up, the veil, and I got to Isaiah, the scripture in Isaiah, and I was like, whoa, check this out. This is incredible. So I'm reading this and I got to say this. I got to come back and because I'm tired, you know. And so now I'm getting sleepy and I wake up and the phone's kind of laying there. And so I just put it aside. But I woke up this morning, the first thing I'm thinking about, man, that veil. That's great, that veil. And he talks about that. He said he's gonna raise the veil. He's gonna raise it. So you obviously understand when God does something, he does it in a way that you can look back and everything he's ever done, you'll see the similarities of it. So now I want to deal with some scripture concerning. Well, let me get out of here real quick. There was something else I wanted to do. The scripture concerning, how many see that? The nature of heaven below the firmaments. Now, I went over all the verses, and I know it's a lot because I'm giving you a lot of verses, so it's hard to remember what we did, but I did the scriptures concerning the nature of heaven, sky above, and their relationship to the earth. And if you notice that the way the whole creation is the world system. Evolution? What's the guy's name Philip was listening to? Carl Sagan? How many of you ever heard that name? Carl Sagan, right? He's got a quote. I was listening to a quote that he made about God. Oh, he could be saved, though, you know? But, man, he ripped on God. I mean, called him all kind of stuff. But I'm going to read his quote. I'm going to get his quote, and I'll read it to you one of these services, and so we can be praying for him. He's got an accent. Carl Sagan's got an accent. And he calls it evolution, right? We say evolution, right? He says evolution. And I said, oh, and so really it's evolution. Evolution. You got to listen to him. He says it all the time. The evolution. Evolution? I wonder where that fall out the sky at. So I'm going to be doing some of that. So keep that in mind. Scripture concerning the nature of the earth below the firmaments. I'll be doing that, and I'm going to see if I can. Okay, let's get started on these scripture. Again, I talked to you about Job being the oldest book. And so I'll start with Job again. Again, these are scripture that concern the nature of the earth below the firmament. Now, I gave you just the scripture. We're going to come back and I'm going to break down each one of these words. I'm going to give you the strong definition and how many times they're used throughout the Bible. And so you'll have that. But we just wanted to give the scripture layout first. And I'll do the same with all of these. I'll talk a little bit about them. Job 9:6 says, "Which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble." The pillars thereof tremble. So keep that in mind, because he's talking about, and I read this one before, but I read the verse before with it. But I'm just breaking out these verses that talk about the earth in this relationship, under the firmaments. So the earth below the firmaments. Job 26:7 says, "He stretched out the north over the empty place and hanged the earth upon nothing." That's an interesting verse. We're going to learn about that verse. "He hanged the earth upon nothing." And just to keep it in mind, if you ask me, if I tell you I have nothing. I'm telling you, in the sense, if I break that down, it says, I have no thing. Keep that in mind when you do this study on this word. He hangeth the earth on no thing. No thing. He stretched out the north over empty place and hangeth the earth upon no thing. So I want you to, and I'll break that verse down when we get to it. But I just am giving it to you because I want you to go do your own study in these verses. Job 26:10 says, He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. So, and now we're not in the firmaments anymore, but we're in this part of the creation. But we hadn't got to day three yet. Okay, we're going to get there. So I hope that you understand how I'm giving you these verses. We got day one, we got day two, but we haven't seen the dry land, and we're not, and we still were dealing with these waters that are pretty chaotic. So what does he have to do? These waters are all over, right? I've been dealing with water since we started. We got waters above the firmament. So first he had to have a firmament to separate the waters from the waters, right? Got waters above, waters below, and waters beneath. And we got all this happening. And so then he says here, he had compassed the waters with bounds. Compassing the waters with bounds. And I'll give you another verse to kind of make, until the day and night come to an end. So now we know that that's parameters. Because he says, until day and night come to an end. So that goes along with what I was talking about, is he had to come up. There's a system where an horizon is put in place. So that's something that I want you to understand when you're going through that. Job 28:24 says, for he looked to the ends of the earth. He looked to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heavens. So he looks to the ends of the earth have an end. Right? So he looks to the ends of the earth. That's something that I want you to keep in mind as we go on through this. Job 37, verse 3. He directeth it under the whole heaven. So he's talking about what's under the whole heaven, where the firmament is. And his lightning unto the ends of the earth. Till the ends of the earth. Wow. You don't realize until you do the word search that there's that many verses that talk about that. You don't really realize it. I mean, you just, because you're not looking for them. So when you're reading, it don't even register in your mind that many times he talks about that. Job 38, verse 1, the Lord answereth Job out of the whirlwind and said. So he answers Job out of the whirlwind and says, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That's a great question. Who is this that what? Darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge. Verse 3. Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand thee the and answer thou me. So he's telling him, because obviously he's doing sitting down, he's still wallowing, and whatever's going on, he's just down. So he says, gird up your loins like a man, and I will demand the answer thou me. Verse 4. Where wast thou, talking to Job, when I laid the foundation of the earth? It's a great question, right? So we have to ask, does the earth have a foundation? Remember, that was my whole premise here, is I'm dealing with the wise and the foolish, and I'm now we're going to go deep as we can on understanding what does he literally mean when he says a wise man builds his house on the rock. And of course, I brought in the scripture with Peter. How important that was when he says, who do men say that I am? And he went on and told him, and he said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Mashiach. And he said, flesh and blood had not revealed this to you. Remember that? If you listen to the table, if you was here, but my Father which is in heaven, upon this rock I'll build my church. Now, I want you to understand there's two systems, and both of them claim the cornerstone. Yeshua claims the cornerstone. Did he make his own cornerstone? Did he just think it in the air? No, he got it from this example of the Father, who's a foundation layer. Let me ask this, who's the original foundation layer? Yahweh. He lays his foundation, builds his kingdom. What does Satan say? I'm going to build my kingdom. I'm going to build. To build, you got to start with a cornerstone. Mine above yours. So the battle starts, right? Let me just throw this in. And I always tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to go up, say whatever you want me to say. You remind me of these little things, I'll say them. I don't have them wrote down, but you remind me. How many angels does the Bible say fell? How much is a third of 100? 3.333333333. Is that correct? 3.3. Where you ever seen that number from? Check it out. A third. One third. Everything is 3.3. Look for 3.3. It's in the cartoons. It's in your movies. It's everywhere. It's the system against God's system. I'm telling you, we better wake up. We better wake up and see it. It's right in, been, look, hidden in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. I was just telling Brother Chad, if you want some interesting stuff to check out, you know, we talk about Israel, God's chosen people. We love Israel, right? We need to love Israel, 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 Israel. Israel better wake up. Their Supreme Court building was built by the Masonic people. The Masons built that. They said, we're going to fund it. We're going to give you all the money. Don't worry. Three things you can't do. Number one, you can't ask how much it costs. We get to spend the money. Number two, we get to use our own architects. And we get to own the land. They agreed. Go look up Supreme Court in Israel. The steps going up into the Supreme Court. Anybody want to guess? Just maybe you want to guess how many steps go up into the Supreme Court. And you'll see Masonic symbols throughout the whole thing. And right displayed right in the middle is this big rock. And it's right in your face. And people going, oh, this, no idea. And it's a shame. We gotta wake up. So that's some interesting stuff if you want to look at that. So back to this, because I read the Lay the Foundation, and it always throws me back to that, because it's two systems. One is God's system, and he's the foundation layer. And he said a wise man builds his house on the rock. He digs deep, and he finds the true foundation. A foolish man just builds his house on the sand. And you think, oh, it's nothing bad, you know, it all looks good. But you're not in God's system, you're in another system. And you're using that system. And let me tell you, you don't understand that all the sand builders, you don't mean anything to the other people who believe that they got their little, they got the cornerstone of knowledge of good and evil. And they believe at the end they'll be enlightened to overtake God. The whole thing is overthrow God. It started out to overthrow God, and it's going to be at the end to overthrow God. The end of the book tells us God can't be overthrown. We're saying, as the little people, we're going on God's side no matter what. That's what we're saying. Or we can be in that other system that makes us think we're going to win, but in the end, you won't win. But you feel like you're a winner because you're going with the most. And he talked about there's a broad way, there's a straight and narrow way. There's a lot of people on one, there's a few people on the other. You want to take a shot at it? So he lays the foundation, declares, if thou understand. He wanted to know, where were you? Verse 5, who had laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, I'm going to ask this question, do stars sing? They do. If they're told to sing, they sing. If they're told to hush, they hush. If they're told go over there, they go over there. If they're told to stand still, they stand still. If they're told to flicker, they flicker. It's just the way God runs things. And the ones that don't want to obey, then they go down. Right? And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Sons of God here again is referring to angels. Angels. And I don't have time to go into that. We'll get into that much later when we get to Genesis 6. It'll be a lesson all itself. Job 38 verse 13. That it might take hold of the ends of the earth. That the wicked it might be shaken out of it. So that it might take hold to the ends of the earth. Again, I'm trying to show you that the earth has an end. It was stretched out by God for a reason. And you'll see this as we go through it. Now, day three. So I'm going to read day three stuff because I'm getting to Genesis. So I did it in this kind of this breakdown, but then I'll come back and we'll revisit verse by verse as we go through it. And it'll be more in a way where you can see how this creation stuff happened. Now, day three. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. Now, do we have waters above the heavens at this point? We do because we went from day one and day two, right? But now he's doing something different with these waters. He says, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let, notice this, and let the dry land appear. That's telling me it was already submerged. Now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We get misconceptions here because we start reading into the scripture a scientific view of how God did things. I'm on day three, and now he says, okay. Now, understand, we have firmaments. We have waters above the firmaments. We have nothing in the firmaments yet. I didn't read anything about stuff in the firmaments. I talked about the firmaments, but nothing in the firmaments. It's about to be in the firmaments. But before he does that, what does he say? He says, let the water be gathered in one place. So we got the waters gathered in one place. That means they were not in one place. They were still interconnected. I believe, again, this is just from me reading, I believe that the firmament separated the waters above and below, but the waters below were connected to the deep. They were the underground waters, all that was still connected. And those things don't go away, but then he's saying, okay, now I need these waters. So he's commanding. So God commands the waters. There's waters that do certain things, and there's waters that don't do certain things. There's fresh water, there's salt water. You understand, God does these things. So here's what he says. He says, gather together into one place. Then he says, let dry land appear. And it was so. So now we got dry land, and you can actually see it. I hope you're getting this. Verse 10, God called the dry land. God called the dry land earth. And gathered together, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. Now that's making more sense to me, right? So now I can see we got this land mass in different places. We don't know at this point if the land masses are like we think they are now, like in different continents, right? So how many continents we have in history? 7 continents, right? That's what they tell us. So we're going off what they say. I've never flown over and count them. I don't know. I've never been far enough up to look down and see. I'm just telling you. But I know right now, all I know is we got dry land that we can see, and it's called earth. And we got waters gathered together in one place. One place. Remember that. Waters are gathered together in one place. So I want you to keep that in mind because this is important. So what he's doing, he's shutting off the waters above, below, and the waters in one place. He's making differences in those waters. Do we still have waters above? Yes. Do we still have the waters in the one place? Yes. Do we have the underneath water? And the yes, we have all those waters still there. But he's put these waters in one place. And we've got the land. And I'm going to submit a few things to you. You can study it on your own after that when we get to that part. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Now, at this point, do we have any animals? No, we ain't got there yet. Is there stuff in the sea? Any creatures? Any living organisms? Any of that? Not according to the scripture. He says, now bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Now we got vegetation coming up. It must have been absolutely amazing to watch it real time, right? Best we got is here. Or maybe this shouldn't be taken all that serious. Because we have science now. And they're telling us exactly how it happened. You know, the little molecule got a little shaky. Like, I don't know what happened. It got nervous. Well, what happened before the molecule? We don't know. But we know about the molecule. Really? How many billions? 13 point something billion years ago. Really? What a memory. It shook, and it got hot, and it blew up. And here we are. Wow. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and trees yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Third day. 1 Samuel 2 verse 8. He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. And to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he had set the world upon them. Uh-oh. Who's the pillars for? And what did he do? He set the world on them. Now, if I say the world on them, if you do the study on here, what am I talking about? He set the world on them. Look it up. 2 Samuel 22, verse 16. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundation of the world were discovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of his breath of his nostrils. So what does that mean when I'm saying the blast of the breath of his nostrils? And when the Lord said something, when he spoke, when this stuff comes out. I mean, you know, when you speak, you create vibration. There's a vibration when you speak. It puts out a vibration. When God speaks, every time we see it, stuff happens. It's a creative power in the words of the Lord. And it's important that we continue to see that throughout Scripture. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 30, says, fear before him all the earth. The world shall be stable, that it be not moved. The world shall be stable, that it be not moved. Psalms 18, verse 15. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundation of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. How many know I just got finished reading that? But in a different place. See, it's being said again. The foundations of the world were discovered. I hope that you understand by now, when I've done the word search on the rock, and I started saying, okay, I'm doing rock. I want to read everything I can do about the rock. And I started on foundation because it's similar. And you start pulling up all these verses and then pillars. How many see that there's a correlation here? when you look at the scripture. And we ought to read all of the verses that we can. Psalm 75 verse 3 says, "The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it." Selah. I bear up the pillars of it. So who's in control of the pillars? Who set the pillars? What did he put on the pillars? The earth. This is pretty incredible. Psalms 93 verse 1. The Lord reigns. How many believe he reigneth? He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Who's the only one can move the earth? Yahweh, according to his word. Psalms 96. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Now, when he's talking about, you ever notice when he talks about the fullness, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he's talking about his creation. The fullness thereof always is relating, when you see that in the same context, is that's relating to the creation or the humans, animals, doesn't matter. It's his creation. And but prior to that, when he uses the world also shall be established, he's talking about that which is fixed. It's the tangibleness of the creation, like the pillars, the foundation, the firmaments, the throne. Who can move the throne? No one's going to move the throne. He's going to decide that the throne, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is going to come down. But until then, it sits there. It's established. It's a corner. Everything's built from there. And that's important. Very, very, very important. Psalms 102, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth. Again, does the earth have a foundation? It does. According to Scripture, it does. That's not, I don't know how people can say that it's metaphor. And that's not a time to take him literally. Don't take that literally. It means something. My question is, what does it mean? Tell me what it means then. Well, we don't know. Well, I'm going with what he said. To me, it means what it says. He laid the foundation of the earth. I'm going with that. And if he didn't need a foundation for the earth, he wouldn't have made a foundation. Right? He wouldn't have made one. Psalms 104 says, who laid the foundation of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Verse 6, thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. He's not talking about a flood here. They're up there. I hope you've been looking out there ever since we've been talking about this. Just kind of look out there and say, man, I'm more thankful for God watching over me, and I'm thankful for the promise. Who would like to do something? Who would like to run a little test about God's word being true? You'd like, I'm going to tell you how to do it, okay? How many's been outside washing your car, and it's been sunshining, and you spray the hose, and you see a rainbow? How many's ever made one of them? Because you made it. You spray the hose. Okay, the question is, where did the rainbow come from when you were spraying the hose? Did it come out of the water? Because if it did, I want you to go inside with your hose and spray your hose in the room or something. What you think you're going to see? Put all the lights on. Put all the lights on and do it. What you think you're going to see? You're just going to get a wet room. Try it. Put it in, go in your garage or your shop, wherever you can. Try it and see if I'm telling you the truth. You're not going to get a rainbow. There's a reason we get a rainbow. Right? We got to have two sources of reflection. Two sources. One is the water. Two is the firmament. And the firmament can't just be like a word that is not hard. It has to be in a reflective firmament that's now, you say, can I do it so I can prove it? Okay, now you do. Go back inside. Okay? Get a mirror. Put it in a tub of water. Shine a light on the mirror. And then hook the hose to it. You're going to make a rainbow on a piece. It'll reflect. It looks like a projector. Because you got two sources of reflection. You got the water, the mirror, and the white. It'll put a rainbow on the whiteboard. You ought to try it. So when you get one outside, and you're looking up there and you go, you ever notice the shape of a rainbow? If you get it without light refraction and no cloud covering, what's the rainbow going to look like every time? Every time. You can't get around it. They try everything to do. They got to destroy everything you can. Can't get around it. Listen, they want that knowledge, but only God can. He can't get it. But they tell you, you can't. Come on our side. Come with us. We're the best. And they do use money. They use money. How many of you know the money? The love of money is the root of how much evil? All evil. Not the money. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. So they'll use money to make you think that you're going to be somebody one day. And you get used up. And when they're done using you up, you're dead. And they move on to the next person. They're not interested in you. But that's not what God does. This is what evolution teaches, evolution. Evolution says what we have to realize is that the only reason that we are anybody is because a star died and you're part of the stardust. You know your right arm's part of one star and your left arm's a part of one star. And forget Jesus Christ dying, a star died for you. These are quotes. I'm like, serious? It's all about making their side better than what Jesus did. Do you understand? And I hope that you understand that it's out now. This is not just us. This is going to happen all around the world. People they're just finished with the lies, and they're going to seek truth, and they're going to go to truth no matter what. And I'm telling you, if you'll hang in there, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's going to be tough. Man, I come out, and I started talking about first of all, and I'm going to mention this in our next service. I'm going to have a list. I don't have it now, but I'm going to mention it to you. I said to the Lord, if you remind me, I must have to say it. I came out and I started talking about that we have been handed down a false belief system when it comes to who the Most High God is. I came out and I said we've been passed on a pagan system of how we worship God. And I asked the question, can we worship God in vain? If you remember. And I came out against Christmas and Easter, right? Then I came up and how dare me, I told everybody we need to go back to keeping the feast days. So we came out a lot of stuff. Well, we need to, and it was boom, 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 boom. So naturally, we're going to look like the idiots and they lost their mind and we're in a cult, whatever. You know, that's what people think. But you can't stop. Once God rings up, you're going to keep seeking the truth, and you're going to come to realize that we either going to have a biblical view of the world we live in, or we're going to have a scientific view. It's one of them. I want to know what God's done. He put it there, and he said he'd tell me, why don't we look at it and say, you know what, this is what he said. And what is it going to do? It creates an urgency in the lives of people. There are more atheists coming to know Yeshua over what I'm reading now to you than at any time in our history. I'm finding that. You can just go and see these sites, these blogs. More atheists are saying there is a God. I've been duped. There is a God. Because they're finding out that all these lies have been told to everybody. NASA's lies. The military lies. The government lies. They're liars. And you can believe what they're telling you, and you're going to get led astray. But they've been lying to people. Go do your own research, and you'll find out that there's nobody has landed on the moon. It's never happened. Go do your own research. Find these incredible, but we've been led to believe it's happened. Nobody has landed there. Nobody. And go look at all, they've been outed. And they know it. And they don't know what to do. So now it's going to be panic decision time. And so when they're in the panic, because people are going to come, more people. So this is the top scientists. These are the leading atheist parties of people saying, there's no God. And they come and say, there's something. It's hard for them to say it. There's some creative. So Carl Sagan was put in a pinch. He got in his interview. And he's like, he rips God. I mean, rips him to shreds. Just basically belittles God. Like, I've never heard anybody talk about God. You know, you just want to reach through the pow, you know, and knock him out. But then he says, he's being pressed, you know, and he's like, well, and he's trying to, and you can see him, he's thinking. He wants to, he's got to say it. And he says, well, I'm not against, totally against a designer. I'm just against that designer. So he believes in a designer. He can't get around it. But he's against that one. That's because he needs to be worked on a little more. At verse 7, at thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of the thunder thou hastened away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Verse 9, thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Are there bounds for the sea? Can the sea go past those bounds? No. He set bounds. And I'm going to tell you, where is those bounds? If you look at the design that we know of, right? That's not kind of how it's laid out, right? We live in a world that's this heliocentric design. We have the sun, which evolution tells us, and the Big Bang and all those guys, the monkey men, tell us. Because remember, don't forget, their criteria is that we came from monkeys. Okay. We have the center of our universe, our little one, not the big, but it's the sun. And everything goes around the sun. Our solar system evolves around the sun. Okay? That's kind of, it's a heliocentric system. Heliocentric meaning everything's spinning, and it's spinning fast. They estimate the earth spins at 1,000 miles an hour. Spinning. Then it's going this way around the sun at a high, high rate of speed. And then the whole thing is doing this. And then the sun is moving in its galaxy in one direction. In its own galaxy. And it's going really, really fast. You notice we hadn't got there yet? Where are we going? It's somewhere. But we ain't there. But I read about pillars and shall not be moved. Stationary. Maybe. Psalms 136, to him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. So we're talking about he stretcheth out the earth above the waters. So if he stretched the earth out above the waters, that means there's waters where? Below. So we got waters above. First we started with all water. We got a bunch of water. He puts a firmament, separates water from water. Right? So you get this picture going, because you don't think of that. You're not thinking of that's how it all went down. But Proverbs 8:27, I got it in two different, the ESV also. It's when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the deep. So he sets a compass upon the face of the deep. So in my mind, I'm reading this. I know what a compass looks like. So we got the face of the deep, and he puts the waters in one place, and he draws a circle, and he sets a compass there. And the waters can't go no further past that circle. Okay? ESV says, when he established the heaven, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. To inscribe a circle, on the face. The word face there, if you look it up, it's the same word you talk about when Moses talked to God, face to face. So face to face, we understand this is not face to face. That's this is. I have a sphere, sort of, right? And if I tell you the face of the sphere, right, would I show you this? No, I'm going to show you this. The question is, what's the face of our sphere, what we call Earth? Because he said, when he inscribed the circle on the face of the deep, where is that? What part of it is it, the face? Because it can't be all parts. Because if that's the case, then this is my face too. Maybe it is. You get my point? That's a good question. So these are some of the things that you got to look up. Verse 28. When he established the clouds above, when he straightened the fountains of the deep. He straightened the fountains of the deep. Verse 29. He gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment. He told the waters, waters, you're going to go out and you're going to come in and you won't go do anything else. It's my command, that line right there. When he appointed the fountains of the earth. The earth has fountains? What is that a description of? Waters where? Under the earth. Under the earth. Does that mean he's talking about the waters in Australia? Way down under? I'm just asking a question. Right? Because if they over there, those believers believe they're the face. And we believe we're the face. And Jews believe that. Do you understand? You can come up with all sorts of solutions, but there's description in the Bible. If we just go with that, we can quit all our nonsense and we'll figure out what he's talking about. Isaiah 11, verse 12. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. I've heard so many descriptions of this, I'm like, oh, my mind's about to blow out. They don't really mean four corners, because it's hard to get four corners out of a ball, right? So that's something to look into. Isaiah 13, 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. I will shake the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Who's the only one going to move the earth? Yahweh, the only one. So nobody can't tell you that this is what we think it is. Because it's all what we think. There's no proof. How many things we're supposed to prove? He said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So if somebody tells you, yeah, we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, what's the proof? Where is the proof that we're doing that? Well, it's just what it's been. Everybody knows that. Well, no, everybody knows what they've been told. What's the proof? So let me ask you something. And there's an answer. They try to answer this. There's so many answers. So if we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and it's called the Coriolis effect. Let me just use that one I can use. Coriolis effect is what they claim snipers have to take into consideration. Sniper gets up, he's going to shoot a 1 mile shot. He's got to take in the Coriolis effect, the wind. He's got to take in the elevation because a bullet will, the gravity will pull the bullet back down. So he's got to take that in consideration. So he elevates up. The distance that it's going to travel with the gravity pull, so says. Right? This is their calculation. And then he's going to say, you know what actually helps him best? Keep shooting and adjust. Keep shooting and adjust and remember, write it down. And that's what they do. And they get better and better and better. That's what you do. And you learn things. You learn things by you keep doing it. But they have to take in the Coriolis effect simply. This is guys, smart people telling this. I'm listening to it. Really? See, when a bullet leaves the barrel, they got to take in the spin of the earth into consideration. Wow. Really? So when you take off in an airplane, does it still do the same? Because nobody's taking that into consideration. I've landed a lot of times and took off a lot of times. And when you look back, it's still there. It's not rolling away. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. But they don't realize that they say one thing 1 week and another thing another year or two. And people don't pick up on it. And they come up with terms like Coriolis effect. So if Coriolis effect is the case, if I leave, if we say the earth is spinning this way. And I take off into the spin. It's going to take me a shorter time to get where I'm going because it's coming to me. Right? But if I'm going with the spin, it's going to take me longer and I better speed up because I'll never get there. Just asking questions. I'll never get there because we go on in the earth and say, man, we're still here. So you can't say you got to take it in consideration for the military, and then you get a guy from the military and says, listen, whoever come with a Coriolis effect, they're a bunch of idiots. I've been shooting these guns all my life. We don't even use that. We just shoot. And they do take in wind, and they do take in elevation, but they don't take in no spin of the earth. When's the last time you jumped up, and when you came back down, you was off a little bit? Huh? Are you hearing me? When's the last time you was at a baseball game and they hit the ball? You know, it's just crazy stuff. Don't come up with it. And people believe it. People believe in it. About millions and millions and millions of people believe in it. What if we're stationary? I'm just reading scripture. I don't believe any of it. I'm only believing what the Bible says. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. It is he, Yahweh, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Where does he sit? Upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. And is he that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out like a tent to dwell in. Wow. He is the one who sits above the disk. That's ISV of the earth. And its inhabitants are like the grasshoppers. He is the one who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain and spreadeth them like a tent to live in. And I'll deal with those words, the disk and the circle. We'll break it down. And the word rakia is the word, the Hebrew word rakia. You can look that up if you would like. Isaiah 43, verse 6, I'll say to the north, give them up. And to the south, don't keep them back. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth. Daniel chapter 4, this is interesting. Thus were the visions of my mind, the visions of my mind head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the ends of all the earth. The sight thereof to the ends of all the earth. Wow. Jonah chapter 2, verse 6. I got something else going on. I'm not sure what I put there. I think that was my eye. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me. Notice that. The earth with her bars was about me. Wow. Isn't that something? Forever, yet hast thou brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars were about me. Try that one. Look that up and see what he's talking. Just Jonah. So he's more than just in the belly of a great fish. Even though that's where he was started out at. In his vision or whatever was going on at that particular time, he saw something different than inside of the belly of a fish. Keep that in mind. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me. Just a few more and we'll quit. Matthew chapter 4. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. I think I brought that up on Thursday, just in our little, we had a discussion, none of that, I don't think we had even a mic or anything, we just was talking and answering questions, but I brought that up on Thursday as a question. Think about that. Brought him up to exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Matthew 24:31, and he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, he shall gather them. John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory, which thou hast given me in thy love for me. When? Before the foundation of the world. The love that he had for the Son before the foundation of the world. So before he started doing all what we've been reading about, the plan was already in the mind of God. Revelations 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. So he talked about, when he left, he said, in like manner. So the way you see me go, he said, I'm coming back the same way. Same spot. How is every eye going to see him if he's doing it the same way? Just wondering. Think about that. And they also which pierced him and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. Revelation 7:1, and after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any trees. Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Wow. Revelation 20:8, he will go out to deceive Gog and Magog, the nations, at the four corners of the earth, and gather them for war. They are as numerous as the sand of the seashore. So think about that. He will go to the nations at the four corners of the earth. And I can go into a lot of stuff concerning that. When we get there, we will cover that. The nations, the treaty that's signed with the nations, the only one treaty that's never been broken is all the nations of the world. And I'm going to show you the United Nations, their symbols, everything. You'll see what I'm talking about. Next time we'll be talking about scripture concerning the nature of the sun, moon, and stars. We'll be on day what? 4. Day four. Scripture concerning nature of the sun, the moon, and the stars. So far we went, there's a lot we did. We don't even have the moon, the sun, the moon, and the stars yet. So we got, you see that when you look at it and you look at all the verses, there's a lot going on concerning those verses, and we don't even have that yet. So that's enough for tonight. Take some time to look at these verses. I'm going to give you the, I don't know how many I've given already. What that number slide is? I'm 99? So I had just a couple headline slides, so I'm in nearly a 90 or so verses. And as I think I had listed 450. I didn't take them all, but I put 450 verses of Scripture. And some of them I repeat, but I highlight a different section in it. And I could have kind of maybe left a few of them out, but other than that, there are that many verses concerning.